Lord God, we acknowledge your presence here, Jesus among us. Holy Spirit, come and reveal to our hearts and minds your love, your power, your grace, and mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So I find the second reading, the letter to Acts, it provokes some questions. It appears that the baptism of John for the forgiveness of sins was not enough. That already early in this Christian way, there was more. And so on this day when we baptize Kiana, part of us anticipates the more. Is that reasonable? Can we do that? We anticipate the more, and part of that is a bit unsettling because there are no guarantees. We don't know as parents what path our children can take. And so we pray, and we model, and we teach. And I believe the letter to, or the reading from Acts speaks of that. Peter and John went down. They heard that people had been baptized. People had received the word of God, and I think that's instructive. We continually share the word of God. We are continual learners as adults or teens or older children, and then we teach. We teach through storytelling. We teach through family devotions. We teach through Bible study. And we teach through responding to answers, turning to Scripture. And so family is clearly the focal point of our discipleship as young children, right through our teens. So they received the word of God. Then Peter and John went down and prayed for them. So that's another key, obviously. I encourage parents, especially with babies, to go in and take authority as parents to pray. I always like to put my hands out over my sleeping children. My wife said, don't wake them up. So I've learned not to mess with sleeping children, but to pray, right? To take authority and pray for our children. Pray for protection, pray for blessing, pray for a deepening of faith and faithfulness to God and His Word. We don't know where that's going to bring us other than trusting in God. Us as parents, as God acts and moves in ways that we did not expect. A parent that I know said, partly in confession, but partly just, boy, as a parent to a parent, you know, I want to believe that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, but I realize with my children, I often communicate that God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life. And that trumps even what God might be doing in the child or teen's life. Not that it's not right to have plans for our children, but always to submit those to the Lord. So they prayed. And they prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And we're instructed here in this early days of the Christian faith and practice that the Spirit had not come upon any of them. For as yet the Spirit had not come. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so baptism is beautiful. Baptism speaks of God's mercy and grace. Little Kiana does not need to recite the Lord's Prayer before she's baptized. She doesn't need to recite the Apostles' Creed. We receive her in grace because we believe that it's by grace we have been saved through faith. Whether you're an adult who's come to faith and have been baptized and given a confession of faith, my understanding is that it's all grace. But clearly, through infant baptism, the focus really is on parents and godparents, sponsors as we call them, to fulfill their commitment to raise this child, in this case Kiana, in the faith, in the household of faith, in the community of faith. And we look to grandparents as well, Robert and Abby and others, other loved ones who have a role. But when we pray and lay our hands on, and I really encourage parents, again, it's, I believe, taking a proper authority in our households in relation to our children to pray. To pray. And in the young days, well, to pray always, but to pray, there's a special time when that child is asleep, and we pray for them. Pray that they would grow strong, that they would receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. And that's where things get exciting. Because Kiana, living faithful to her calling, and we pray that in the collect, we say, Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, keep your children born of water and the Spirit faithful to their calling through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that God has a calling on Kiana's life, that God has a calling on her older brothers, Kenny and Keon, and that it's our goal as the community of faith to have eyes to see and hearts to perceive how God is guiding, directing, and gifting them. What better place? Sometimes family is so close that the community, the extended family and community, is almost sometimes better suited to say, I really see this as a gifting on your child, your grandchild. It might be part of their calling. How do we support that calling? These kids that were here this morning, these children, they're the strength of our church. They're not our future church. They're the strength of our church now. As I see children looking and seeing models by parents and grandparents, trusted others, being able to interact in a safe environment with people of all ages, to see children and youth speaking to elders, just finding out how their day went, how their week went, sharing the things that have excited the child and sharing the things that have excited the elder as well. Church as a community of faith is a beautiful and powerful reality. What about our anticipation as parents that our children would receive not only the Word of God, but receive this Holy Spirit? To be baptized, this baptism is a baptism in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I understand it's a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Now, you might think, well, this child hasn't sinned. And I would agree, there's been no willful act of disobedience in Kiana. And yet we're born into sin. And I can say that with confidence because I know. And God wants to redeem that and heal that and reform that reality that I'm born into, broken and needy. My parents were great parents, but they didn't have all I needed. And their parents didn't have all they needed. And so we acknowledge this profound need as humans to be restored to God, to be renewed, to be reconciled, to be transformed. And so the picture of Jesus' baptism. Now, Jesus came to the waters of baptism with no need for forgiveness of sin. And so we might say, well, why did he do it? We can understand that it was to fulfill all righteousness, that Jesus came to the waters of baptism out of obedience. He wanted to identify with humanity so fully that he came to the waters of baptism. His cousin John acknowledged that right away and said, it's not I that is to baptize you, but you to baptize me. John said of Jesus the Messiah that he was not even worthy to untie the thong or the leather strap of his sandal. Rabbis, it was understood of the day, of that first century, that they could not ask a disciple to untie the straps of their sandals. That was something that the rabbi needed to do himself. And so John is putting himself below the student of a rabbi and saying, I am not even worthy to untie his sandals. John, out of faithfulness, baptizing Jesus. And then something happens that I find is so beautiful. And I believe models what we all need as human beings. And I think we all are well aware of that. So Jesus is baptized before he does any ministry. Not to say he's not done any ministry, but any public ministry, right? He's baptized before he's literally driven into the wilderness for testing for 40 days. As I said before, I don't ask, we as a church don't ask Kiana to recite the Ten Commandments before she's baptized. It's literally before she's done anything other than being a baby girl. And there's something in that that's very appealing to me. And as Jesus comes out of the water of baptism, this voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And I believe God in that moment gives the corrective to so much Christianity, that of the focus of doing, doing more. Here is a beautiful picture of Jesus being in relationship with the Father, and the Father affirming Jesus in his being. This is my Son. This is the relationship. Kiana is a daughter. She's a sister. She's a granddaughter. That's the strength of her being, and she is a child of God through these waters of baptism, before she does anything. Now, my expectation is that she would grow in the faith and life of the Christian community, that she'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then stuff happens that parents don't have that greatest handle on. When parents start to be led and to follow their calling, it can happen at a young age. It can happen in teenage years. It can happen in your 20s. It's just different for each person. But that's the focus. That as parents, we would always be mindful of the calling that God has on our children. And that as Kiana grows and matures, that especially Kofi and Joanna would be wondering and thinking, God, what is she about? Who is this little one, and what calling do you have on her life? What's her temperament? What are her gifts? What are the things she shies away from? Where are areas that we need to strengthen her? Strengthen her for what? To fulfill this calling, because it's the most exciting life anyone could ever live. The calling that God has for us. Now, sometimes it causes conflict and confusion. Let me share a personal experience. In university, I was a Christian and came in to university as a Christian and got involved in the Christian Fellowship at Western Washington University. And I was part of campus Christian Fellowship. I gravitated toward their gathering of worship and small groups very early on, and then became and was trained for a small group leader. As I wrote home and talked to my parents, they were a little concerned that I spent so much time in this Christian ministry. "Aren't you there to get a degree, Paul?" And of course I said, "Yes, I am." And I managed to cram a 4-year degree into 5 years. And it was a rich experience. They thought I had actually joined a cult, because I would often make reference of CCF, or Campus Christian Fellowship, or my small group, or what had happened just last week. And so they came out for a visit, not just to check out this concern, but clearly to see me and for a visit. And they quickly were dispelled in their concerns that this was in any way a cult. They were pleased to see that it was alive and beautiful and part of the movement of God and part of the calling that I had on my life. And so, parents, we don't always understand, perhaps, how our children are being called. But, boy, let's continue to pray, continue to keep watch. But let's also continue to affirm our little ones. Most of us can remember a time of affirmation in our growing up. Think about it for a moment. Some households were very thin on affirmation, which is sad. Some received affirmation for what you did, for good grades perhaps, for being honest, for being clean. We have different ways that we get affirmed in our households, and many children are quick to learn those ways. But how many times were we affirmed for doing nothing, just for being who we are? "You are my son, you are my daughter, you are I love you. I'm so pleased with you." And they might go, "Huh? What did I do?" They might be a bit surprised by that. But I think this is the heart of this baptism of Jesus Christ, this affirmation of the voice from heaven, understood as the Father, this Father-Son relationship, this family relationship, and that is the heart, this being a child of God, being beloved, and being well-pleased. And some of us have a hard time believing that God is well-pleased with us, but that is the message, and I pray that we could receive that message today. Just as Kiana will receive the water of baptism. I know she doesn't have a lot to say about it, But she does have a voice, doesn't she? And sometimes you hear that voice very clearly, right? And I know she's sleeping now, and we'll handle that very carefully, right? But may we enter into this, and as she is brought to these waters of baptism by parents who love her and grandparents who love her and brothers who love her and a community who loves her, may God speak to us in a very profound way. We have an anthem, again, to reflect on this grace.